Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 78, please. Psalm 78. Great to have everybody here today. The folks from New York, Pastor Joe, Carolyn, the group, thank you. Great to see you. And everybody else here, Pastor Ken Davis this morning, Pastor Anil from southern India, right here, wow. And he flew over to be at Pastor Muhib's wedding, which was yesterday, and it's so good to have him here. And maybe you could share tonight in the wrap, Pastor, is that good? Okay. We love him and his family so much. Owings Mills was good this morning, Pastor Ronaldo. Great. Federal Hill, Havre de Grace. I've heard good reports. I've been on the phone, and I've heard great things from different people. And the prayers being answered. And the walk of faith. We all need encouragement. How about it? Do you feel like you need encouragement? I do. I need a whole pile of it. I walked through the church tonight before service just greeting people, and I could see that they love me. What? You love me. I did. I felt that you love that certain ones, a couple of them, they love me. That was good. We need encouragement. We need to love each other and encourage each other, and it's happening on a level that is only explained by God himself. For God dwells in us, and it's his grace that is on us that is allowing us to live another kind of life, the Caleb life we spoke about today. And we said that I need a Caleb in my life. I need a Caleb. I might not be that Caleb for somebody, but I need somebody to be a Caleb. For me, probably I'll be like Caleb if I can hang out with him long enough. And I need him in my marriage. I need him in my living room. When I'm raising my kids, I need Caleb in the garage where my kids are working on their bicycles or homework. How many of you, your kids do homework in the garage? See, you're not listening. Okay. All right, so I need a Caleb in the ministry. I need a Caleb in the church. I need a Caleb in my life. That person will help me because the majority, 10 spies, they had one message, but Caleb and Joshua had another one. And we said, who was Caleb anyway? What was his mind like? What did he think? What did he believe? Why was he different from the other guys? And we explained it using Psalm 78 this morning, and without too much detail, but we counted 32 verbs where we have the words, sinned yet more, tempted God, spake against God, were estranged, sinned still, believe not, forgot. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues. Their heart was not right with him. Look at Psalm 78, verse 8. Might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So we said, the Romans 1:21, that people, when they knew God, they were subject to God and worshiped God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They do. Oh, good. There it is. No, that's not. It's Psalm 78. Romans 1:21, please. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That verse encapsulates what happens to people, Christians too. We stop glorifying him as God, and we change, and it flips around. It goes more like this. Me, and then God is more like under me, or like a credit card, or more like what I use. I use him. He's a tool for me to get my way, or to have my life my way. So this is idolatry. In verse 22, when this happens, they profess to be wise, they became fools. Next one. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God in an image made like to corruptible man. Made like a man. God becomes like a man. In the diagram, we could just say man and God becomes something like a man or an animal or something else. Like that's how it goes. We said Caleb had another spirit than the other people, and Caleb, he saw something. He saw something when they were leaving Egypt. He saw God when they left Egypt through the Red Sea. Caleb saw, and he didn't forget it. It's like a photograph. I saw that. I saw that. I saw the Red Sea open up. It blew my mind. I saw that. That's God. And then I saw God give us the food and the water out of a rock. I saw that. I saw that. And I worship him and I am thankful. So he had another spirit. But what happened to the other people, the 10 spies that went in? Well, I've said, we cannot do this. We cannot go in and take the land. It cannot happen. So look at 78 verse, this one, verse 57. But they turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. And that deceitful bow part caught my attention many years ago, and I didn't know what a deceitful bow was, you know. And I just thought about it. I didn't know what it was. And then somebody explained it to me, that when you, like bow and arrow, if you take a tree, and if the grain is straight, and you turn it into a bow, there's a string here, here's the arrow, then if the grain of the wood is straight, then the arrow will go straight. But if it has a twist in it, you pull it back, and when there's a twist, the arrow will spin off. It's not a true bow, but it's a deceitful bow. Maybe some of you guys understand what I'm saying, and ladies too, I'm sure, that it's easy to have some twist in you. Yeah, you know, something not exactly true and right. And when you shoot that arrow, it doesn't go straight. It's not a good bow. It's a deceitful one. Or a crooked one. Or one that isn't true. Or one that isn't exactly right. There's something about it not right. And in our story this morning about Caleb going into the promised land, he got it right. He said, we can do this. I know that God is with us in this. And in our lesson this morning, there were 12 spies that went in, and 10 came out with the bad report, and 2 were not a deceitful bow, but they were right on, right on. And I've seen it in my own life. I'm sure you have also, and you understand what I'm saying. There is a spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the only one in my life that can keep me right. I mean, I can know the Bible, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be right. I could know the Bible very well, but that Spirit of God is the only one that is here with us that will teach us and lead us and get our life in that way that we please God. And Caleb is this kind of believer where he is saying, I make the effort and I labor in my heart to be thankful and to worship God as God. I want to hear from him. You know, somebody said the sheep can't do much. But there's one thing that sheep do very well. And maybe there's a couple. I can think of another one. They can eat all the time. They can eat real good. But there's one thing sheep can do really well. And what is it? They can hear their master, their shepherd's voice. I might not do much well. I might not be a very strong person. I might not be a very godly person. I might not make it in many areas of my life. But there's one thing in my heart that you and I are capable of, and that is we can hear the voice of our shepherd. And he'll lead us in and out, and his spirit is true, and his word is like a sword. His word is like a hammer, Jeremiah 22. His word is like water in Ephesians 5. His word will pierce through to our spirit and through our soul and all the troubled soul that we have. Recently, I've been kind of emotional for some reason, different, little bits, very stable in one way, but also very concerned about a certain situation and very troubled a little bit about people that I love and that I know very well. And it kind of, but it reminds me of how fragile we are as sheep. It reminds me of how, like, sheep can't lie down when they are nervous. They can't eat when they are nervous and they are afraid and they're bumping each other. And maybe they can hear, there's a wolf in the forest, or one of them is unhappy and kind of running around crazy. Reminds me of our church. No, I'm joking. All right, so, I'm a fragile person. I'm a fragile person. I'm like a deceitful bow. It looks right, but when you fire the arrow, it doesn't go straight. How many pastors and how many believers, like, somehow there's some attitude that isn't exactly right. And we go and look through the promised land for 40 days, and we see all the opposition. We come out and we just say, can't happen. And God is saying, I know it can't happen. I know you cannot do this. But if you would hear the voice of the shepherd, I know that you cannot do this. Who is sufficient for these things? But I will be greatly glorified if you can just make the effort to believe me and trust me. Reminds me of Matthew 8:23-27, when Jesus is on the boat and the disciples are there and they're very worried and troubled. I think of the storm on the outside was meeting the storm on the inside, like we said Wednesday night here on Exodus 14. Stand still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. And Christ rose up out of his sleep and he said, what was it? How was it? Matthew 8. I want to get it right though. Praise God. Love you guys. Come on. Bring it in. Tighten it up. Come on. Here we go. Matthew 8. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? That's it. Why are you nervous sheep? Why are you fearful? Why are you troubled so much? Why can't you sleep at night? Why are you worried and anxious? Don't you know that I am your Savior, your Messiah, your Shepherd? I am the voice walking in the garden. I am your Comforter. I am your Barnabas. I am your Caleb. I am your Joshua. I am the answer for your life. Quiet down, be still, know that I am God. You know, many times we want to solve our problems within 24 hours. How about 24 years? Many times we want to get it done in 7 days. What about Moses? 40 years later, he starts his work at the age of 80 in Egypt. God had prepared him. To the young men, the ministry is the greatest thing you could ever get yourself into. To the young ladies, that ministry is the greatest thing we could ever get ourselves into. I heard a message from Pastor Stevens yesterday, and I loved his Caleb spirit and saying things like, we can do this. This can happen. We can go into 200 countries by the year 2000. This was a message in 1983. He didn't say that, but he said, we can go into 100 countries. In one hand, how? And the answer, I think, tonight is if that bow is right straight, then that arrow will go straight and hit the target. And if those quality people are us, if we happen to be those quality people, then we will do very well. We'll hit the target in the gospel. People will hear the gospel and be saved. We'll wake up on a Monday morning, kind of on the mission field maybe, a little bit lost in our hearts, and we'll go before God, and our bow is clear and right on, and we hit that target, and we say that God is with me. It doesn't look like it. I got 3 or 5 people in my little group, but God is with us, and we're sharing the message on the street in Moscow or in Dubai or some other part of the world. And we say, how can we live here? Because God is taking care of us. He's visiting us, and he's saying, stay. I have many people in this city. Like he said to Corinth, to Paul when he was in Corinth, stay here. I have many people in this city. He stayed 18 months, and he was hitting. The Spirit was speaking, and there was a bone to bone, a rattling of bones, and hip bone connected to the leg bone, and leg bone connected to the foot bone, and so on. And there was a shaking. And the bones, and God said to Ezekiel, prophesy unto those bones. And as he prophesied, they started to move, and they joined together. And then the flesh came. Prophesy unto those bones. You know, when your bow is straight, it doesn't matter. I mean, other things are details. But if you got the Spirit of God with you, you got the Spirit of God in your prayer, the Spirit of God in your meditation, the Spirit of God in your trial, the Spirit of God in your fellowship, if you got Barnabas around, you got Caleb around, there good things are going to happen. And 38 years later, after Caleb had been there once, they went out the 38 years in the wilderness, they came back and he says, I've been here before and now it's time. And he goes, you never know. Maybe even the walls of Jericho will come down. You never know. Maybe they'll flee from us in seven directions. You never know. Maybe they'll give us a bus. Maybe we'll get the money to pay for it. That'll be a new thing. Now, maybe you never know. Maybe some young guy in Utah is watching this on the internet. We say to him in Utah, get over here. Come and be with us at the Bible college. Walk by faith. Let's move on. Let's believe God. Let's leave our past and move on in what God has for us in truth and in our future. Let's let the things of the past be gone and forget about it. Forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on with not a deceitful bow. That's a beautiful picture. You pull back at that and the arrow just goes the wrong way. What a picture. My words go the wrong way. My spirit goes the wrong way. My idea about life goes the wrong way. Maybe I'm thinking more about my security than I'm thinking about what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is doing, what God's mind is. Maybe I'm critical of the church somehow, or critical of people or something, or judgmental about people, or disappointed with myself. It's like a bow that is not shooting straight. Yeah, that can happen. But not to Caleb. It looks like he got it right. And then when he got into the land, down in Hebron, I think it was, he said, I want that mountain. So, you know the story. That's it. I'm so encouraged. And I believe that more great things are happening than we could ever put our finger on. I believe the Spirit is saying and doing things in the world and in our fellowship around the world that we could not put our finger on. We cannot see it. But if we got the fundamentals right, if God is our God and we can live by faith, and we will see good things happen because he said it. And then lastly, listen, think of this. One day, it's for you, for my walk and your walk. One day, we could say, I finished my course. And the Lord could say to us, well done. Your bow was right on. When you shot an arrow, it was straight and sure. Really, Lord? I'm sure I goofed up. Oh, yeah. That's for sure. I'm sure I goofed up. Maybe things I said were not right. And by the way, the 10 guys back here, which one was it? Yeah, this one. These 10 guys, they had a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking in this world. It's let it go. Comes in and let it go. Because that talking, a lot of talking. Learn to be still. Caleb stilled the people. Shh, shh, quiet. Shh, shh, listen. We can do it now. No, we're in a democracy. Majority doesn't always know the best, but in our system, we live by the majority vote. But when it comes to your walk with God, majority doesn't count. In our government, it does. In your personal life, it doesn't. Majority isn't how you live. You sisters and brothers, we are in a minority. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We are in a minority because we learn in forgiving people. We're a minority because we pray at midnight. We're a minority because we assemble three times a week. We're a minority because we believe in the validity and veracity of that book. We're a minority because we do soul winning and share our faith. We're a minority because we love unconditionally. We are a minority because we are a smaller number than the majority. But I want to be that way. Because I believe Caleb knows something. And Caleb is who I need in my life. And with him, me believing and hearing and the Spirit showing me God, and God leading us and showing us, and all the naysayers over there saying, not going to happen. Oh, they always talk like that, or they think they're so great, or whatever it is. I cannot hear you. La, 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 la. I cannot hear you. Because we are sheep. There's only one good thing, one thing we do well. We can hear the voice of the shepherd. That's awesome. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Wow, it's great. Thank you, God. Father, we need to hear you in our marriage. When we buy something, we're coming into the holidays. We don't want to just do what we do automatically. We want you in it all. We want to bring things to you and focus. We are raising families. For me, it was the hardest thing we ever did, my wife and I. It's not easy. It's not for sissies. It's for people like Caleb. And you and me, we can. We can. And the church, I need the church because that will help me. Helps me over and over again in many ways. Lord, some on the mission field, some here, just to live here in Baltimore and pay our bills and have a great attitude and live a life true and wise and loving and caring and edifying. Happy folks like Marcia Davis, and there's so many people. The night crowd for the teen group and everything. The staff, Scott and Pastor Taggart and Barry Quirk and Pat Lynch. Thank you, God. We are where we are at tonight because of a true bow, one that's on target. Help us, we have a new heart. We have your Spirit, and nobody is glorified in this. God does not share his glory with anybody. No, he does, but with his Son, and then his Son with us, but not our flesh. No flesh is glorified before God, for we are all an unclean thing. On the other hand, we are used by you. Thank you. Bless this city. Bless our police force. Bless our. We take hatred out of the street, Lord. There's too much hatred in our country. There's too much judging, too much hatred, too much intolerance, impatience. There's too much foolishness. And we don't trust man, but we trust you. And God, use us to help and to see salvations and to see new lives and to see changes. And to see radical, encouraging times and focus in life, God, please change things. Bless the pastors around through the country and the churches. And thank you for the salt and the light. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. If you've not received Christ, do it tonight. Say to Christ, I receive you. I believe in you. I trust in you. I need you. Please save me in Jesus' name. Raise your hand, anyone as saying the prayer to accept Jesus. Anybody, just raise your hand. Anybody at all. Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Oh, you are born again if you believe in Jesus Christ. You have a new life in Christ. Thank you, God. Anyone at all. Yes, in Jesus. Father, give many souls in Africa, many souls in India, many souls in Latin America, many souls in Europe this week. Father, please, new things. Give us prayers. Father, please, prayers that will do things. Prayers, send laborers to the fields. Prayers, anoint pastures with fresh oil. Prayers of love and unity. Prayers that move mountains. Please, in Jesus' name. Prayers that heal bodies. Prayers that change things. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.